And now, without further ado, we're starting a new series, church. The Empowered Life. Let's welcome Pastor Kerry.
Right. Wow.
Good morning, church. How are you all? Boys from Shalom, how are you going? I've been hassled already by you guys. A few of you remember when you came here last year, I spoke about some crocodiles, about my activity with crocodiles up north. And one guy said, oh, you're going to tell us a story about crocodiles. You've got to tell us another story about crocodiles. I said, all right, I'll try and think of one. But I do remember I was up with up in Broome one night, and I went with my mate who ran the crocodile park up there, Malcolm Douglas Crocodile Park, and we actually jumped in his boat, Malcolm Douglas's boat. And my mate, he's a very proud sort of a guy, and he knows all the tides coming in and out and everything else. And so we were out fishing and praising and everything. I'm going to say that, guys, because the church sent me up there to do some work. But anyway, we're out there, and all of a sudden the tides go real quick, and the tide went out real quick, and here we were, probably about, I don't know, a kilometre offshore, stuck on the sandbar on a big boat like this. And Mark said to me, he said, oh, I guess we're here for the night. I said, what? I've got to go back to my family at home. And I said, no, we're here for the night. So we walked off, and then we walked back, and by the time that the water was like that, and he said, oh, we can't really move now because the waters are infested with crocodiles. And I was going to ask my family if my boys wanted to come and spend the night. But that night I had a really good opportunity to speak to my mate. My mate's a bit of a spiritualist. He's into the Aboriginal culture and all that sort of thing. But we spent hours and hours. You couldn't sleep because as the tide came in, the whole boat was going like that all night. So all we did, we just sat up and spoke and talked. So I hope that's a good enough crocodile story. I was too scared to hop out of the boat. You know, when I can't see crocodiles, I won't jump on them, you know. But anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are about to start our new series, Lord, on the Empowered Life, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each ear in this room would be attentive to what you would have to say to them this morning, and especially over the next, or over the 10-week series. But Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that, Lord, you empty myself of myself. You just empty everything out of me. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just fill me afresh. Lord, may I see with your eyes, may I hear with your ears, and may I speak with your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you can probably smell the garlic. That's the garlic cooking. It's not the person next to you, okay? So you can, a sigh of relief. But this morning we're beginning a new series called The Empowered Life. And today I'll be talking about the power of focus, okay, based on the first chapter of Philippians. Now, in this chapter, we're given a very clear and helpful instruction on how to live the kind of life that Jesus has asked us to live. Don't look at that a lot. Your eyes will start to go. Now, the problem that most of us have is not that we don't understand what kind of life God has called us to, but how actually to pull it off. How to move beyond theory to actual practice. And one of these reasons, one of the reasons we so often fail in this area is because we have had trouble having the proper focus. And it's like knowing that our destination is somewhere like Marble Bar in the far north Queensland, far north WA, sorry, and not having a map to show us how to get there. When something similar happens to us as Christ followers, we find ourselves living spiritually and emotionally confused lives because we have some idea of where we should be, but we have no idea of how to get there. Now, the answer to this dilemma is learning to live a life with proper focus by learning to see what God wants for us so clearly that we can't possibly miss it. And today I want to share with you four areas of focus that will give you the power and the ability to live God-honoring lives. Now, who doesn't want that? So number one, focusing inward where I'm honest with myself and with God. You know, it's really difficult to get a handle of external behaviours until I first get a handle on the person that lives inside of me. See, when you look at me from the outside, you have no idea what is going on in my head. No idea. Or how I feel about a particular issue or a particular person. You have no idea. Or what is taking place in my spiritual life. And you know what? The same is true when I look at you. And what is also true is that most of us have not taken the time to internally reflect on ourselves to the point that we really understand those things either. In other words, we're often strangers to ourselves, not really knowing the inner person much better than our friends or family know us. And the reason for that is that we often, because we don't really know what to know or what is going on deep down inside our souls, and there's a certain fear that we have of being exposed in our lives. Yet until we're willing to really examine who we are, and what our core values are and what really makes us tick, it will be difficult to focus, okay, on the other important areas that we're going to be talking about today. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, in the Message. Now, the Message is a paraphrase of the Bible. It's not the Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, okay? 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, "Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted." My goodness, who does that? We all do at times, don't we? "Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it." See, what happens to most of us when we become Christ followers is that we get busy doing church work and stuff and very quickly forget about the inner person. You know, we can come to church and we can do all the things that we do in church and we think that we're living a good life because we're doing church stuff. But we're too busy sometimes doing that to actually reflect on what's happening on the inside. What is necessary is a regular internal checkup. And so how do we do that? Well, let me suggest some questions for you to use in your quiet time. And if you want to write out on your bit of paper I send out, if you've got that on your notes, write these down. Number one, do I truly strive to live my life as Jesus lived? I'm just going to take my jacket off. It's hot up here. Do I truly strive to live my life as Jesus lived his? Now, some of you might be saying, well, what do you mean? And if you don't know how to live your life as Jesus lived, there's a little telltale sign saying you don't know Jesus that well. And probably another telltale sign is saying, well, you don't read the Word often enough. So that's a question. Do I truly strive to live my life as Jesus lived his? Well, to find that out, read the Word. Number two, is God my first love? Do I do things to demonstrate my love for him? If so, make a list. What is it? Is God my first love? Do I do the things that demonstrate my love for him? Do I just do it on Sunday when I come to church and high five and be really nice and smiley and say, "Hi guys, how you going? Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah." But then when I leave church, what am I really like? Is God my first love? Number three, if I died today, what work for God's kingdom would go undone because of my absence? Number four, am I closer in my relationship to God today than I was last year or 10 years ago or even 6 months ago? It was said to me recently, oh, I think my honeymoon, the honeymoon period of being a Christian is over. Thank you. The honeymoon period is being over. That's a telltale sign, isn't it? Oh, I remember when I first became a Christian, I was so on fire for God. You know, I went to worship and I raised my hands, I'm clapping and hallelujah. And now I just stand there and worship and just say, oh. That's a telltale sign. Am I closer in my relationship to God today than I was last year? You know, that's like saying, oh, you know, the honeymoon period's over for my wife, Sally. I was so in love with her when I first met her, and wow, she looks so great. And 23 years later, it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. I love my wife even more than I do than 23 years ago. Amen? Wow. Yeah, brownie points. Oh, well, that's it. Let's go. No. Well, now that should be enough to get us started, shouldn't it? Those questions. And the idea is to expose our inner person, to get it all out on the table before God. And then we begin working on those areas that we find that we fall short in. Now, when I seriously focus on the inner person, and I do this quite often, I find that my vision becomes more clear, allowing me to serve God in an internally satisfying way. It is so good. When we can picture, we can ask those questions, and there's a lot more questions, and you can go through those questions and go, yep, I need to work on this, and I need to work on that. And you start working on it, man, your life just starts to get in the real motion of having a really good relationship with God, and then you're just on fire. Trust me in this. This is what God always wants us to do, is to always internally check, not outwardly check, because I can come right up to you and say, hey man, you're looking so good. Praise the Lord, the Lord's doing some mighty work in your life, and he is. And you can go, yeah, that's great. I feel good on the outside. You look good on the outside, but what's going on in here? Number two, focusing upward, where I acknowledge God's role in the process. Now, a lot of you older folk would know what that is. A lot of you younger folk would probably go, what is that? Because you can't use them anymore. It's too dangerous. Too dangerous to use. I mean, if you had that in the playground today, you'd have to line up to get headgear and knee pads, and wouldn't you? That was the best thing in the playground when I was a kid. Now, when I was a kid, I used to love going to the playground and riding on the merry-go-round. You know, the kind where someone runs alongside of you. For you younger people, people used to run along the outside holding on to that and run around, and people, other mates would just be hanging on, going, ah! And if you stuck your leg out, you'd hit someone that was trying to get on. That was the best part about it. If you ever ridden one of these, you'd probably discover that to experience the maximum G-force is that you need to sit right on the edge. But if you move closer to the center of the merry-go-round, where the yellow dot is there, okay, the more stable the ride becomes. And you can just sit in the middle and just watch all the kids being flung off and hitting each other. I used to be the yellow dot kid. But this is a really important principle. Okay, it's a really important principle. The faster your life goes, the more focused you must be on in your center if you're to survive and thrive. The faster your life goes, you've got to be centered very, very well for your life to thrive. And what or who is at the center of your life? It's not your family. It's not your career. It shouldn't be your golf game or, heaven forbid, your football team. But it's God. G-O-D. It is God that is at the center of your life. What we need to do is center ourselves by keeping focus on God's role in the process of developing us throughout our lives. We need to focus upward. Philippians 1:3-6 says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you and I make my requests with a heart full of joy because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Amen? So notice that even though much of Paul's focus here on the Christians in Philippi, everything that he says was about them or himself, is centered, okay, on the focus upon God and God's role in the process. For instance, every time I think of you, he said, I give thanks to God. I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work. These are the things that Paul was saying. And you know what? I need to focus inward and open myself up to God, but I also need to focus upward and recognize that any progress that I make in my spiritual walk is possible because mighty hand of God is working through me. It's not me. It is always God. God will always get the glory for what I am doing. Always. Now, when we become Christians, we make a basic commitment, don't we? We will follow God's direction and he will transform our lives in doing so. Amen? Amen? That's what happens. And while my role and obedience to God is extremely important, I must never forget that God is the one who is actually doing the good work in me. Because it is very easy to be on fire for God and things going really well in your life, and then slowly, little bit by little bit, we tend to take the glory off God and put it on ourselves. And there lies the danger. That's when we start heading down a real slippery path. Number three, focusing outward, where I express my true feelings for others. Okay? Some of you may not know, but I'm a coach for the under 14s. Soccer. I've been doing that for about 8 years now, and they call me Super Coach. I give it to God, Super God. But last year we had this team. We were in the under 14s, and we were the young kids in the under 14s. So we were getting hammered. We were getting flogged. And I mean flogged. All these young players, you know, it was pretty devastating for them, and I wasn't the super coach and everything else. I was probably had to review my contract with the team because they were looking at me. But I gave them a little pep talk one day, and it was probably one of the best games. I've won a few grand finals in my time, praise God. But this game was probably outweighed anything of it. I mean, when Carlton won all those grand finals, 16 of them, just say, that was good. But this game, I said, look, these guys are giants. You know, your heads are closer to the ball than theirs. That's all I had. That's all I had. So, you know, you can play the ball a lot quicker than what they can. Well, we flogged them 5-0, and a lot of these kids weren't good soccer players. Well, fast forward to this year, okay, we've been put in B division, and the other under 14 team in our club, they all want to send their good players into my team, and all my not so good players into the other team. I said, what? No. No, I don't want that. They said, why not? I said, because I'm about building a team. I'm not about collecting talent. I'm not about collecting talent. I'm about building a team. You know, in my life, I have been involved in sporting club committees. I've been involved in government advisory committees, helped out in church boards, corporate boards, school boards, ministry teams. And in the last 15 years, as we've made plans for Hillside Church and the organisation, deciding to build and purchase and certain things and build up ministries and so on, I have learned the value of teamwork. And I've discovered, as many of you have, that to accomplish what God has in store for us, we must focus on building relationships with each other and focusing together as one person on the vision that God has given us. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. And we have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. See, Paul was building a team. He wasn't collecting talent. And there is unity that we share as Christ followers, not just because we believe in the same things, but because we are looking to working together toward the same purpose. Like Paul said to the Philippians, I can say to every one of you, you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God. We have defended the truth together and witnessed together. I love you and I long for you. I think the problem that many of us have is that we don't feel towards each other these feelings, but we have trouble expressing it. And sometimes in the midst of our attempt to reach our goal, we unintentionally step over each other in the process. And there comes a point when we find our lives and ourselves forgetting about the importance of each other's ministries in the kingdom and begin entirely to focus on ourselves or our own ministry. Rather than recognizing everyone's contribution, we can even become jealous in the way God is working through other people. Oh, look at him. He's got favor, or he's a leader, or he's doing really well. Or we do that. Let me tell you what a really healthy exercise that can do to help us in this area. Go through your newsletter that was handed out today for the month of June. Or go through my blog that I send out each week and look at the announcements in there and begin praying for all the people involved in these various ministries that are taking place around here. Begin looking around you on Sunday morning. Look around you and consider all that takes place to make this worshipful time for you. Think about all those who are involved in ministering to our children right now in Kids Church. All who are maintaining this building, sweeping it, vacuuming it, cleaning the windows. All those who are working on outreach to our community through HCCO and other ministries. All who work in a leadership position. Who prepared communion today and wow, the flowers. Actually, they're beautiful flowers. Wow. All who teach and all who serve in the same way. Here at church. You guys at Shalom. Think the same things. Think of all the people that are that are actually caring for you, that are helping you, that are walking life with you. Pray for them. Just take time to really think about it. And very soon you'll find yourself focusing outward and thanking God for all those people around you, and you will begin to recognize the importance of team. But I think we need to take it a step further than that. I think it actually let those people who serve in those various areas of our church, let them know that we really truly love them. Not just for what they do, but for who they are. For they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is something I know that I need to do more of, and I'm sure that you do too. It's appreciation. Number four. Now this is gonna. I want you to. If someone's falling asleep at the moment, I want you to nudge them. Okay, not that hard. Just a little nudge. Okay. Focusing forward, number four, focusing forward where I use, okay, my sanctified imagination for God's glory. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sanctified imagination. Now, sanctified, for all those people that may not know, is it's free from sin. It's purify, purity, okay? Sanctified imagination. So I'm not talking about imagination. We've all got it. We've all got some pretty wild imaginations at times, don't we? But this is sanctified imagination. This is thinking pure, okay? Free from sin, all right? You with me? I need you to understand that before we get started in this, because I'm going to get you to do something in a minute that you're just going to hang in there, all right? As I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you and letting you know how much I care, and I also need to do something else. I need to begin focusing forward, okay, using my imagination to see how God might use us all together in the future. Do you ever picture your mind of what the church will look like in 10 years from now? 20 years from now? 50 or even 100 years from now. I think about it all the time. I sit back and dream about us growing together, loving each other more deeply, and leading more and more people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I often think of different individuals here in the church, and as I see God working through them, I imagine how God might use them in the future. Paul did something similar to that with the church in Philippi. In Philippians 1, 9 to 11, he says this. He says, I pray your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Wow. See, Paul is using his imagination and praying for some very specific things that he would like to see take place in the lives of Christ's followers in Philippi. He dreams of their love overflowing. He dreams of their knowledge growing and them understanding what really matters, and also as living as Christ would want them to do. He clearly sees their lives being used in the future for the glory of God. Now, I can look out. I can look out across this room now, and I can dream what God has in store for each and every one of you. There are some here that I see leading their friends to Christ. I can see others building our children into fully devoted followers of Christ. I can see others working in their musical talent and bringing God the glory in that way. I see people serving, I see people greeting, I see people creating and loving and caring for each other. Others becoming model parents and teaching others how to do it right. Others being an example of humility before God. I can see lives being transformed right in front of my very eyes. I can see lives being restored, families being delivered. I can close my eyes and begin to imagine each one of us as individually and collectively as the church is growing, building, maturing, and becoming everything that God wants us to be. To focus forward is to picture things as they might be and praying toward that end as it brings glory to God. Okay, hang in there. This is true for the church, but it's also important to use our imaginations, okay, in the process of personal transformation. What I'm asking you to do might be somewhat foreign to you, okay? Especially for those from the evangelical tradition, have often only been receptive to what they can see in the black and white. Yet God calls us to begin to see things through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit." Yeah, give it a clap. Okay, so it is the Spirit-inspired seeing of Jesus, or we could say it's the use of our sanctified imagination in seeing of Jesus. And that changes our being. It totally changes our circumstances. Okay, if we can get into that, if we get into the Holy Spirit, okay, as we imagine His glory, we are being transformed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. This is, in essence, how the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. Now, when we cease from striving in our own effort and yield to the Holy Spirit, and when our faith ceases to be merely intellectual and rather becomes experiential and concrete, our lives begin to reflect Christ's image. As we behold through our imaginations the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into that glory. Okay, are you with me on this? Get the tape and go through it. It is what we see in our minds, okay? It's what we see in our minds. Not how we strive that determines what we become. Now, throughout history, God has worked through images and He has placed in our minds that allows us to picture who He is and what He does and how He cares for us. And it's through these sanctified images of our imagination that God often becomes more real to us than ever before. Okay. That's what I want you to do right now. And please, some of you may go, "I'm not going to do what he tells me to do." Just do it. All right? Just do it. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everyone, just close your eyes. Okay? So I'm going to teach you something. Close your eyes. And don't open them until I tell you to. Just close your eyes. Get that dark. Get into. Close your eyes. What I'm asking you to do is to begin to take time to imagine yourself with God right now. Just imagine yourself with God, with His loving arms around you, and acknowledging that you are His child and that He loves you. No matter what you've done, He loves you. And He's saying to you, "Son, daughter, I will always love you. I will never leave you or forsake you." I'm asking you to picture yourself literally standing at the throne of the Father right now. You're standing at the throne with Jesus sitting at his right hand as you offer him your petitions and prayers, and you're just standing there looking up at them in awe, going, wow. What I'm asking you to do right now is to allow your mind to take you back to the cross of Christ. Just imagine yourself standing in front of the cross, looking up and seeing the torn and battered and beaten body of Jesus on the cross. And I want you to see the drops of blood flowing down his body right now. And with every drop that hits the ground, experiencing the reality of his sacrifice for you. I'm asking you to picture being with God at this very moment and imagining just what it is that he has to say to you today, knowing that he sees all, hears all. Keep your eyes closed. You know, it's a matter of moving beyond the verses of the Bible and allowing the experience of God himself to come into your mind and transform you. For instance, just imagine you're in the centre of Subiaco Oval right now. You're right in the centre of Subiaco Oval, and as you look around, you see 40,000 people all with their hands in the air praising and worshipping God. And you're just turning around and around and around. You see thousands of people worshiping God. Now go to your own homes and imagine on a Sunday morning you're bouncing out that door with your wife or your family, the Bible in one hand and your spouse in the other, the kids skipping down the footpath. And as you walk down the footpath, your neighbour bounces out of their house, all happy and smiles and looking up with the Bible in their hand as well. And as you go down the street, everyone's coming out of the streets, out of their homes, from their doors, and they're walking towards Berkshire Road. And can you see just crowds of people walking up Berkshire Road into this very place here? They're all coming to church. This community is transformed. Open your eyes. It is taking this idea of focus to another level, where we fully expect God to move into our lives and transform us, and by doing so, he will be glorified. I understand the danger here of allowing our minds to run wild, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about using our imaginations as they are in agreement with God and that he has revealed to us in his word about his nature, about his character, and what he desires for us and what he desires for this world. And then allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the images that God has placed in our minds. I mean, so often I'm in my office and I'm just dreaming about people just breaking the chains of addiction and in our own community and just coming in here. And becoming free and free indeed. That's not a bad dream. That's not a weird dream. That's a Holy Spirit-inspired dream and desire that God wants for all of us. He wants everyone to be redeemed, amen? Amen. He wants everyone to be transformed. Amen. You know, it's something that has the potential of taking your focus to a point that you might have never, ever, ever been before or even seen before. And it is all done for the glory of God Himself. Can I have the music team up, please? You know, there are four areas of focus that we've looked at this morning. Focusing inward, focusing upward, focusing outward, and focusing forward. I'd like to ask that you do yourself a favour and pick up the area that you feel you need most help in and begin taking steps towards that area of focus. As you work through these, I have no doubt that your focus will become the same focus that God has for you. And when that takes place, you'll begin to live a life of satisfaction beyond anything that you've ever experienced before God. I'm really excited this morning to open up this series, Empowered Life, with the people here at Hillside and especially with the Shalom guys. Because we're all going through the same journey. It's called life. And it's like in the business world, you have your ebbs and your flows. That's life. That's business. That's life. In our own personal lives, that's what we have. We have our valleys. We have our troughs. We have our valleys. That's life. But each time we're getting redeemed and we're getting restored and we're getting strengthened by what we go through, what we experience. So I want you to really seriously think about it. You know, focusing inward. Do I need to start focusing on myself, who I really am? And what God really desires, wants me to be? Am I closer to God now than I was a year ago or 50 years ago? I want to get back to that place of that first love. I want to get back. Focusing upward. How good is my relationship with God right now? Focusing outward. Am I truly loving my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I really appreciate what they do? Focusing forward. Have dreams. Have visions. Holy Spirit-inspired dreams and visions. I'll tell you what, it's awesome. It can be frustrating at times. Especially when you don't see all the people in these houses with their Bibles and their spouses in their hand coming up Berkshire Road. But I know that one day that's going to happen. Because in the Word it says, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I can see it and I dream it. And that inspires me to come to work, get out of bed every morning and come to this place. It inspires me to bring you words from the Lord. It inspires me to love you. It inspires me to love my family. It inspires me knowing that God is in me doing amazing things for His glory, not for mine. And He wants to do exactly the same thing to you. Exactly. Why don't we stand and... As we sing, if anyone needs prayer or you just need a hug or you just whatever, you need healing. I want you to come forward. We're going to get the elders and the sort of pastoral team to pray for you. After the service, we're going to obviously have our mission lunch and you can smell it now. You Shalom boys, you've been taken care of. This church loves you and we've taken care of you today. So just go out and enjoy your lunch. Let's give God the glory now, eh?